Warning. Matthew chapter 24. The title of our current series on Sunday morning is Coming Soon, Jesus. That's the hope of every Christian. Amen. Jesus Christ is coming again soon. He promised us. He's going to make everything right. All is going to be well. We hold on and we wait for Jesus. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus gives us signs that will indicate that his coming is very, very near and close. It's a last day study that we're doing here on Sunday morning. So, Matthew 24, would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the time of worship. We thank you for a time to express our emotions, our feelings, Lord, to declare with our lips and our hearts how much we love you. And that, yes, indeed, Lord, you are enough. I pray now, Lord, that we would worship you with our minds, that we would have minds that are open to hear from you, to see what your word says. We do look forward to your return. But until you return, we understand and recognize that you've given us a job to do. May we be faithful servants. In Jesus' name, amen. So far in our study of last days, we have seen that there are going to be some very terrible physical things happening on the planet in the last days. Jesus told us that in the last days there would be intense warfare. So great wars will take place in the last days, and all the destruction that's associated with war will be there. Then Jesus said that in the last days there would be catastrophic events happening on the planet. Natural disasters, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, cosmic disturbances. You know, it really is true. The Bible does paint a doomsday scenario when it comes to the last days. This planet will fall apart. It will be terrible. Physical issues like the world has never seen. What will society be like in the last days? What will people, generally speaking, be like in the last days? Well, that's what Jesus deals with next. And look what he says, beginning in Matthew 24, verse 9. He's speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved." It's a picture of last day society. You know, there's no question in my mind that society has changed dramatically here in America over the last two generations. And I believe it's changed for the worse. Now, I can't believe I'm saying that because I used to think that that's what older people said. When I was younger, I remember always hearing older people say, well, the kids today aren't like the kids when I was a kid. The world isn't like it was when I, back in the day. And you hear a lot of older people say things like that. And there may be a little of that happening with me. I'm getting a little older. But in all seriousness, if you take just a real objective look at society today and compare it to society here in America two generations ago, it's changed. Morals have changed. Families have changed. Marriages have changed. Community living has changed. Education has changed. Society has changed, and I think it's changed for the worse. There are those who think, oh, we've come so far, we've advanced, we've become so more sophisticated, we're so tolerant and all-encompassing of other people and all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, I don't think we've taken leaps forward. I think we've taken big leaps backward. And Jesus says here, and according to other passages that concern the last day prophecies, society will just get worse. It will become worse and worse and worse. Jesus mentions several characteristics of the last day society here in this passage. And I want to look at them very briefly this morning and then sort of put them all together. The first characteristic of last day society is that word that we've seen before, deception. Deception. Look at verse 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. In verse 4, he says, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. That's the first characteristic. The last day society will be a deceived society. Listen, most people in the last days will be utterly deceived. Absolutely blind to spiritual things, to moral things, and it will be the blind leading the blind. And there will be confusion, chaos. There will be no navigational system from a moral standpoint. Deceived. There's no doubt that the enemy will be working overtime in the last days to deceive as many people as possible, knowing that his time is short. False teachers, false prophets, false messiahs, the rise of the Antichrist, as we've studied, all in order to lead people away from the truth that is found in Jesus Christ and the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. That will be rampant in the last days, that kind of deception. But I also believe that in the last days there will be a massive rebellion against truth in general. There will be no sense of absolute truth. No sense of absolute morals. Everything will be, relative. It'll be like, hey, I've got my truth, you've got your truth, they've got their truth. Everybody can just believe what they want. And the biggest criminals in those days will be the one that stands up and dares to say, there is absolute truth. There will be no absolute truth in those days. There will be no, hey, this is right, this is wrong. There will be a rebellion against truth. It will be sort of what it says of the nation of Israel way back in the book of Judges, a very dark period in their history. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now, I want you to know something this morning. That is deception, that there is no absolute truth. Because there is absolute truth. It's deception that there's no absolute right and wrong. That's folly. And when we have a whole bunch of people believing those sorts of things, you know what that leads to? Moral anarchy. It leads to just people thinking and doing whatever they want. So you have a massively deceived last day society, people believing whatever they want to believe. No handle on truth. No moral truth. That's the picture that is painted of the last day society. Now I ask, you look around our society, don't you already see a lot of that? All this moral relativism. It's there. Truth has become slippery. Last day society will be a deceived society. Now look at the next characteristic. Look at verse 12. Jesus says, and because lawlessness will abound. Listen to that. In the last day society, lawlessness will abound. That's the Greek word anomia. Namas means law. If you put an A in front of it, you negate it. Literally, in the last day society, no law. Now that doesn't mean that there won't be any laws on the books in society. It just simply means that people will ignore them. They won't mean anything. They won't be enforced. The law will be sort of like Roscoe Pico and the Dukes of Hazzard, something to be laughed at, mocked. The law. Right. And as a result of that, people will be living lawlessly. Now really, what Jesus is getting at here is, in the last day society, people will be totally disregarding God's law. God's standard of righteousness. You know God has a law? Do you know that He has revealed a standard of righteousness? We have it in the Word of God. The Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet. You look at the Bible and you see the law of God. You see what God expects. This is how people should behave. This is how people should treat other people. And you know what? God has revealed His law in His Word, and the Bible indicates that God has written His law on our hearts and our consciences. We inherently know what's right or wrong, whether or not you live in a society that has a formal law. And in the last day scenario, most people on the earth will be totally disregarding it. Absolutely, defiantly disobeying God's law. Lawlessness will abound. Another way to say it would be, in the last day society, wickedness will abound. Sinfulness will abound. Highly exaggerated in the Greek language. In other words, a superabundance of sin, an overwhelming surplus of wickedness in society in the last days. The last day society will be a cesspool of wickedness, sinfulness. Sin run amok. Sin ran running completely unchecked. A sinner's free-for-all, because there will be no law. No regard for it whatsoever. Later on in this discourse, you will notice that Jesus will compare the last day society to the days of Noah before the flood. What was society like in the days of Noah before the flood? We're told in Genesis chapter 6, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth, and He was grieved in His heart. Society will get that bad again. Bible indicates that the last day society will be like the society that you see in Sodom and Gomorrah in the Old Testament. And if you read that story there, you recognize that sexual perversion had been elevated to a level that you almost can't believe. Angels had come to visit the city. The men of that city wanted to gang rape them. And Lot says, oh, please don't do that. Here's my two virgin daughters. You can't even begin to imagine the level of lawlessness that this world can reach. Paul the Apostle describes the last day society in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We actually went through this in great detail a couple Wednesday nights ago. Paul says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. That is the description of most people in general in society in the last days. That is the society that people will be living in. Lawlessness will abound. Now, I got to tell you, as I look at society, I think things have gotten very, very bad. I mean, the statistics about sexual immorality around the world, the statistics in the consumption of pornography are staggering. The glorification of adultery, the glorification of sexual perversion, absolutely rampant. You look around the culture, consider the drug problem, the drug abuse, the drug culture, the debauchery, the party life, the nightlife. Paul said that in the last days people would be brutal and cruel, violent, crime, murder. I mean, you look at what's happening in our sister city, Juarez, and what's going on in there. And you know, the word that you could use for that city right now is it's become lawless. You can't trust anyone. Paul said that the last day society would be dangerous. And most certainly, it will. And I believe society in many ways is already dangerous. Now, I know that most of us here are Christians and we live in our little Christian bubbles. And you know what? That's cool. Stay in your Christian bubble. Stay surrounded by Christians. Hang out with the right people. Be protective of your kids. Now, we should go out into the world and share the gospel. But man, we need to find sanctuary with God's people. But you know what? In our Christian bubbles, we oftentimes don't recognize how bad it is out there. You go, and it's bad. The inner cities, the drug culture, the sex trade. Very, very dangerous society now. Jesus said that lawlessness will abound. In the last day, society will get even worse. There's a third characteristic that we see Jesus speaking of when he's talking of this last day society. And this characteristic is the word apostasy. Apostasy. In the last day society, there will be a great apostasy that takes place. I want to show you a scary word. Look at verse 10. Jesus says, and then many will be offended. Offended, that's the word scandalizo. That is a word that means to stumble, to fall. In other translations, you will see it translated that there will be a much turning away and falling away. And so check this out. In the last day society, there will be a great falling away from the Christian faith. Many quote-unquote Christians will walk away from the Christian faith. There'll be a falling away. A turning away. That's very troubling. To see people that you thought were Christians turn away from the faith. By the way, I'm from the theological persuasion that if somebody does apostatize, that proves that they were never truly born again. Because if you're born again and if you meet Jesus Christ, you're never going to leave him. You may have some times of backsliding, but he'll bring you back. But in the last days, it'll be very confusing because people will be departing the Christian faith. Now, I ask you, you look at Christianity and look at how big Christendom has become. With all the denominations and all the people that would claim to be Christians, there's a lot of them, all these denominations. Now, in that big, huge organization that you would call Christianity, is everybody in that organization a true born-again Christian? No, just a few. There are only a few that have really come to know Christ, and Christ has changed their life. We get closer and closer to the last days, people are going to be deserting. And you're going to think, what's going on? And you know what? That will be especially true in the last day society. And it will cause a lot of people a lot of trouble. Falling away, apostatizing, turning from the Christian faith. I see a lot of that in our society already, in our culture, in our government, in education. Yesterday morning, I brought Connor and Lindsay to an orientation class at the YMCA. We've always been members of the YMCA, but now they're old enough to where they can go and they can do the weights on their own. And so in order to do that, they had to go through an orientation class. And so we sat in this class and they gave us the core values of the YMCA. Now, I'm not bashing the YMCA. I'm not bashing this guy who helped us and taught the class. But I did notice something very interesting. He danced around the Christian part of the YMCA. So much so that I had to go home and Google and make sure, is YMCA Christian? It is. Young Men's Christian Association. It was founded on Christian values. In fact, one of its original primary objectives was to preach the gospel to young men. One of its original tenets was to make disciples of Jesus Christ, right there in its bylaws. And here we are in this orientation meeting, and he says, one of the core values of the YMCA is faith. And then he was quick to say, any faith, will you accept any faith? And particularly, the faith that we most accept is faith in one another. The YMCA, we have faith here. We have faith in one another. And he even went through slides where you had Jesus Christ on the slide, but he danced around it. It was like he was offended. And I thought, boy, have we come a long way that somebody would be offended over something on which the very organization was founded. Do you get the feeling that in our society, we're allowed to be tolerant of every group except for the born-again Christian? Why is that? The last day, society, there'll be a great falling away. There'll be more of that. And then there's another characteristic that we see very clearly of the last day society, and this is so troubling. Jesus said that the last day society would be marked by extreme hatred. Look at verse 10. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And verse 12, and because lawlessness will abound, this is the saddest phrase in the whole passage, the love of many in society will grow cold. Folks, literally, that is saying that most people's capacity to love will go dark. Now, I believe that born again or not, we've all been created in the image of God, and we have the capacity to love, to know love, to enjoy love. It seems that in the last day society, most people in society will lose that capacity to love. They won't love. There will be so much lawlessness. There will be so much bad news. There will be so much atrocity. There will be so much deception. People in the last days will lose their ability to show kindness to other people, to be courteous to other people, to be respectful of other people, to have compassion on other people. Hatred and bitterness will rule the day. And it would have seemed that in the last days that would all carry over even into what you would expect to be the most loved relationships, the most intimate relationships among human beings. Verse 10, Jesus said, many will be offended and many will betray one another. Betrayal implies that there was a personal relationship there, a good one. Folks, in the last days, wives will betray husbands. Husbands will betray wives. Parents will betray children. Children will betray parents. Friends will betray friends. Quote unquote, Christians will betray other Christians. It's not a pretty sight. That's what society will be like. Going cold, going dark. Can you imagine a society like that? So, deception, lawlessness. By the way, those two go hand in hand, don't they? If there's no such thing as absolute truth, why wouldn't there be lawlessness? Why wouldn't there be wickedness? A falling away from the faith and a society that's characterized by bitter hatred. That's where it's headed. You know, I thought long and hard about how to title this sermon. There's many directions you can go with this passage. And I guess the word savage just kept coming to my mind. The idea is that, you know, in the last days, society will just be savage. It'll be animalistic. It'll be primitive. Cruel. Bunch of selfish people looking out for themselves, hating other people. You think it's a dog-eat-dog world now. I see a lot of hatred in our society already. I see a lot of just crazy things. People killing each other over iPads. Over what hat. I remember at the beginning of this year, there was a fan in one of the baseball who got beat senseless, beat to a coma just because he was wearing the jersey of the other team. Cold-hearted. Cruel. There will be more of that. Jesus predicted a time when the love of many will grow cold. Now, there's a specific characteristic that Jesus gives of the last days. It's very specific here. You can't miss it. Jesus says that there will be one group of people on the planet who will be the focus of society's hatred. What group is that? believers, followers of Christ. Look at verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation. Who's he speaking up to? His disciples, those that would be followers of him. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Folks, there's coming a time when Christians will become public enemy number one. It says there's coming a time when followers of Jesus Christ will be hated by all nations. So Christians will be delivered up to tribulation. You know what that means? Arrested. Tortured. They will be delivered up to tribulation and killed. What's that? Martyrdom. That's where that society is going. Now you may ask, okay, how is that all working out? How does that happen? Well, you need to understand a couple things. First of all, please know that society has always hated God's people. Society has always persecuted God's people. You look back at the Old Testament, and who were the people of God? The nation of Israel, right? The Jewish people. And in a sense, even today, the Jewish people are still God's people. God isn't through with the Jewish people. Okay? But you look at their history. Look at the history of God's people in the Jewish nation. Look at the hatred that's been directed towards them. By the Assyrians, by the Babylonians, by Antiochus Epiphanes of the Greeks, by the Romans, recently in the Holocaust. And look at the hatred that's directed towards them by the nations that surround them today. Hatred, extreme persecution. The early church was also persecuted by society. It's hated. In fact, Jesus warned the disciples. He said, Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Be aware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. John 15, Jesus warned them, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Jesus warned the early disciples in the early part of church history that they would experience those kinds of things. And if you read the book of Acts, you find out that they did. And in fact, according to tradition, every one of the early apostles was martyred, except for one. Matthew suffered martyrdom by being slain with a sword at a distant city of Ethiopia. Mark expired at Alexandria after being cruelly dragged through the streets of the city. Luke was hanged upon an olive tree in the classic land of Greece. Peter was crucified at Rome with his head downward. James the Greater was beheaded at Jerusalem. James the Less was thrown from a lofty pinnacle of the temple and then beaten to death with a fuller's club. Bartholomew was flayed alive. Andrew was bound to a cross whence he preached to his persecutors until he died. Thomas was run through the body with a lance. Judas was shot to death with arrows. Matthias was first stoned and then beheaded. Barnabas of the Gentiles was stoned to death. Paul, after various tortures and persecutions, was at length beheaded in Rome by the emperor Nero. So that hatred has been there. The early Roman persecution of the church. You've heard those stories, right? The catacombs, Christians being fed to the beasts. All of that, it happened. I have a book on my bookshelf. It's called The Fox's Book of Martyrs. And it tells the story of all of these things taking place. And we've seen persecution like that throughout church history, and there's persecution of Christians like that going on right now today. Earlier this year, we had the Voice of Martyrs with us. And they told the stories of Christians worldwide that have been persecuted for being Christians. And you know what? In America, we're persecuted. Not like that. But we are. We're the object of persecution. You go get in politics and you let people know you're a Christian, they will crucify your character. They will assassinate your reputation. Your Christian faith holds you back. There's persecution in many, many ways, even here in America. So my point, I want you to know that that's always been there. These kinds of things have always happened. Why have those things happened? Because we have an enemy who hates us. There's an enemy who hates Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ and does everything he can to stop. And you need to know it's dangerous. The stakes are high. You'd say, well, why would God allow this? Well, here's the cool thing. Whenever Christians go through an intense time of persecution, it's been proven in history, the church grows dramatically. In fact, the church has grown, it says, on the blood of the martyrs. Because when there's persecution, Christians get strong. They depend on the Lord. They go for it. In fact, I think the most dangerous time for the Christian church would be in a time when there's no persecution. Because you know what happens? We get spiritually fat, dumb, and happy. We get apathetic. We don't recognize the seriousness of it all. I heard about a Christian from the underground in China who was speaking to an American missionary, a missionary from America. And this missionary told this American missionary, hey, we're praying for you in China. Really? How are you? We're praying that persecution would come your way. Because we know that the church in America is asleep. And they need to be awakened. Did you know that the church in China has exploded? The growth is phenomenal in China, and it's underground. So God does use that. There's your last day society for you. There's what you can expect. Societal evolution, right? We're all getting better and better and better, right? Wrong. It'll get worse. Now, I don't want to leave you on that note. Hey, become a Christian and you'll get lanced to death. Thank the Lord we still have our freedom here. And we're able to share. But by golly, do we take advantage of that? Do we as Christians take advantage of that? I want to leave you with just a couple words. First, a word of comfort. God's people will ultimately be victorious. God's people will be saved. In fact, verse 13 says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now that is that. There's going to be a lot of martyrs in the last day tribulation period. And really, this is what Jesus is speaking about. This tribulation period, I told you that there will always be this kind of persecution against God's people, but in the tribulation period, it will be worse and worse and worse. It'll be dangerous to be a Christian. People will become Christians at that time, but it'll be dangerous because I think this verse primarily applies to them. But God will save. God will come through. And I want to give us comfort this morning in knowing that I am absolutely confident that as Christians, if you are a Christian now, you will be removed from the planet before that time comes. Can I hear an amen on that one? I do believe in the rapture. That 7-year tribulation period is a time of judgment. God will remove his people before he judges. We don't face judgment because we've allowed our sins to be judged at the cross. So we are going to get out of here before that really explodes. And I want you to know, if you're not a Christian this morning, you need to become one. Now is the time. Don't wait. So we have that comfort. We know that, hey, if you belong to God, you're going to be saved. You're going to be taken care of. So a word of comfort, but then a word of exhortation. Here we are. We're not in heaven yet, are we? Here we are. Members of society. Many of you sit here and you say, I'm a born again Christian. And here I am in the last day society. You're getting very close to it. What's our responsibility? Jesus told us, he told us in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's your job description. That's my job description. Here we are, the light. Little lights in a world that's very dark. We're salt on the earth. Why did they use salt in the ancient times? You know, it's a little different than why we use it. We use it for flavor, right? Mostly. Oh, spice it up. But in the ancient times, they would rub salt into meat. Why? To preserve it, to keep it from rotting. Every time I think about this command and Jesus says that we're the salt of the earth, I always get this image. Maybe I'm just a little weird, but I always picture society as this big chunk of raw meat. That wants to rot. That wants to decay. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ has taken his salt and rubbed it into that meat to slow the decaying process, to preserve it. That's what we're supposed to be. We're salt rubbed in to the society to preserve it. Now, folks, when the rapture occurs and the salt is removed, oh, my lands. But right now, the salt's here. And we need to do our work. My brother and sister in Christ, I want you to think of it. Think of it this way. Where has the Lord rubbed you in? I want you to consider your job, maybe the school that you attend, the neighborhood that you live in, your circle of friends, your sphere of influence. God has placed you in there to be salt. The world is going to become more deceived. You stand right in that place and you speak the truth. And you live the truth. The world's going to become more lawless. You stand right there in that position that God has given you, and you live holy and righteous. A life that pleases God. There's going to be a great falling away. Make sure that you're the real deal. Hold on, endure. In the last days, love is going to grow cold. Oh, my brother and sister in Christ, don't you dare let your love grow cold. You be a lover. You love other people. You show kindness to other people. And may our families be examples to other people, and our marriages, and our friendships. Be salt. And it's so important that we live this life consistently. Consistently. We're not going to be perfect, but you're the person that goes out into that place that God has called you, and you are the consistent witness for Jesus Christ. You're the light that shines, the salt. Vance Havner said, it says, let your light so shine in Matthew chapter 5, and he says, it's not a glare, but a glow. And we're simply to let the light shine. God prefers stars to comets. The figure is a candle, not a firecracker. Oh, my brother and sister in Christ, if there ever was a time where we need Christians, the salt of the earth, to go out and consistently shine. And why do we do that? So that others can get saved. Why the salt is still here. And many can be saved through our lives, through our testimonies, through our words. It's a challenging thing to think of how society is going to get and how bad society has already gotten, but you can also think of it as a great opportunity. Folks, God has called us to live in these days. And when things get darker, lights can shine brighter. And so may we shine. Father, I pray that you would quicken our hearts . If you're here this morning and you are actively being salt, you're testifying, you're on it, you're trying. I know that you are getting beat up. I know that you're getting beat up because you get beat up. And I just want to encourage you to keep going. You keep going. Because although you get beat up, there's also going to be many who will come to Christ through your example. Perhaps there are some here this morning and you simply know that you're just not salty enough. You're holding back. Make that move forward. Rededicate your life. It's worth it. It's why we're here. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, He can save you right now. He died on the cross for your sins and rose again that third day. And you get saved by asking Him to be your Savior, and He'll forgive you of all your sins. You know what? He'll save you. He'll put you in His family. Heaven awaits. And you know what? He'll save you from wasting your life here. Perhaps there are some here, and the love is growing cold in your heart. You've become a very bitter person. You've had relationships go astray. You've had all kinds of things in your life. I want you to know that Jesus Christ can save you out of that. He can change your life. I want you to have an opportunity. Nobody's looking, the head's bowed, eyes closed. But if you need to receive Christ, I would be delighted to lead you in a prayer right now. Indicate that to me by raising your hand high so I can see it. Anybody here? I want you to have that opportunity. Okay, then I'm going to ask for all of us to stand together as the church. Stand and a surrender of our lives to the Lord Jesus. Committed to be salt and light. Let's sing this last song together.